Auron halted at the top, debating. Yuna seemed to guess why. Releasing her grip on his thumb, she set down her shoe-puff doll beside the sword, stood on tiptoe, and pressed a button on the door panel. A chime sounded. After a brief delay, the door slid open to reveal Waka filling the entryway like a Ronzo, arms folded and stance wide. "Go away," he said. "She's not up yet." He faltered under Auron's unwavering gaze. "Look, Riku hasn't done her face. You know how mad Lulu used to get if we..." Auron snorted. "I'll risk it." Yuna, less patient, uttered a plaintive wail. "Vidran!" Waka's eyes softened. "Okay, okay. Sorry. She's a little beat up, Uni, but don't you worry. Mum's taking real good care of her." He retreated into the unlit room, illuminated only by the twilight coming through floor-to-ceiling windows. Lulu lay sleeping like a moth under a cocoon of blankets, an undulating form resting on her side facing the sky. It was hard to make out much, but someone had washed away the grime of battle, cleaned and bandaged her wounds, and dressed her in a loose white sleep tunic that left her shoulders bare. Her hair was wet, dripping onto the floor where it hung over the edge of the bed. Auron's ripped and bloodied coat hung from a peg by the door. Riku, carefully arranging Lulu's bangs over one eye, waggled a hairbrush at them as they filed in. "Hey, I wondered how long it would take for you to get in here." She lifted Yuna onto her lap, but her wink was directed towards Auron. "Summoner all tucked in?" "Yes." He took up a position just inside the door's alcove. There was another stool by the bed, clearly not meant for him. Waka collapsed onto it like a falling Garuda, plopping his chin onto his hands. He craned one eye to watch as Yuna edged forward in her mother's lap, tentative and eager, inspecting the sleeping figure as if peering into a pool. Her outstretched fingers fluttered over sallow bruises, the faint red stripe around Lulu's throat, the gauze bandages wrapping a shoulder. Finally, the girl climbed up onto the head of the bed, lithe and silent like her mother could be, crawling over Lulu's head to peer down at her face. Eyes shining, Yuna looked up at her father. He beamed at her through his exhaustion. "Yeah. It's really her. That's Lou." Yuna backed away, careful not to touch. Riku patted her arm and held out the brush, nodding towards the snarled loops of hair hanging down in a damp curtain. Yuna settled to work at once, applying the brush too gently to make much headway. "We're taking her home, right? She's coming to live with us?" Waka cringed. Mom and I need to talk about it." "It's up to Lulu, honey," Riku said. She smiled at the upwelling gratitude in her husband's eyes. "Of course, I'd love for her to stay. She's family. She's your auntie, after all." She nodded towards the man standing in the doorway. "I'm not sure if Dad wants him underfoot, though." Waka blanched. "That won't be necessary," Auron said. "Oh, come on. Don't be such a grouch. You too, Waka. The old home salvage teams could use backup against the sandworms." "Auron's a grouch," Yuna confided to Lulu. "And he came to find you. And we did too, only Dal made us wait while he went to fetch you and Mum, and..." She broke off, suddenly aware of the adults listening in. "That's right, Uni," Waka said. "Tell Lou and Mum where you were today." "We went to the Moonflow," Yuna said. "It was like the sea, but it was all greeny-brown and flat. We saw real moon lilies. And there's this huge animal called a shoe-puff, and it's not a fiend, and it's gray, and it's got a long nose that rolls up, and an old man with a pointy hat told us it snuffles teeny-weenies." We crossed the moon floe 3 times until Vedina jumped into the water, and then they made us get off. And we saw Sir Clasco and the chocobos. Etta and I rode a yellow one, and Mabella and Vedina got a brown one, and Uncle fell in the mud, and everyone jumped on him, but I didn't because—" She ducked her head and trailed off. "She can't hear me, can she?" "She can hear you." It had grown too dark to see Waka's expression, but there was a misty tenderness in his voice. "Lulu always hears you. Go on." "Okay." The girl bit her lip. "Uncle fell off his chocobo," Riku prompted. "Right. And I didn't play because the flowers started making pyre flies, and I wanted to watch. Buddy went with me. The pyre flies were singing. Buddy said he couldn't hear them, but I could. They were singing about you. They said you fell, and then they got really quiet. We heard the boom when you came down. The old man told me not to cry. Then the whole river glowed, and all the lilies made pyre flies, and they were singing." She stopped, stroking the same tangle over and over. "I danced with them. I danced on the water, just like in your garden, but it wasn't a dream this time. I really did it. The water held me up, and then it was time to come get you." Waka exchanged a glance with Riku, half proud, half rueful. "Oh, man." "I wish we'd seen it," Riku said, squeezing the girl's shoulders. "What did they sing?" Auron asked. "The song," she said. "The dream song." He nodded. "Let's hear it." Yuna ducked her head and began to chant in a sweet, shy sing-song. For a moment, everything stopped, and only Lulu was breathing. The rise and fall of the zoo feather blankets matched the rhythm of the soothing hymn. Riku exhaled and began stroking Yuna's back absently, head cocked to listen. There was a scrape as Waka scooted his seat forward. He curled an arm around Riku and Yuna, eyes watering, joining in the hymn with clumsy, tone-deaf devotion. Auron prayed. He did not realize he was doing it until he heard his own voice, a croaking parody of a young monk's pure, pious tones. He caught Riku's startled glance and quick grin hidden behind one hand. Lulu should have awakened just to tease him, but still she lay like a faith under glass. The thought twisted his stomach. There were tears trickling down Yuna's cheeks. Strange child. She could so easily reach out and shake the sleeping woman, as was clearly her desire, and Auron half wished she would. But she only waited. Or perhaps she was just sleepy. Her voice had faded to drowsy mumbles, and she was nodding. At last, the brush slipped from her fingers with a clatter, and the song trailed off. Wordlessly, Waka helped Riku stand and with unspoken signals determined that Riku should carry the girl to her room. Auron stepped aside to let them out. Stirring as she passed, Yuna reached out and bumped his chest with her toes. He started, lips quirking wryly. Thus, he and Kamari used to exchange shifts, but with fists, not feet, of course. "You get some sleep too, Auron," Riku said. "You're dead on your feet. Now behave, both of you." "Humph." The door slid closed on Riku's chuckle, and Auron moved to occupy her chair. Waka's territorial scowl dissolved into a dumbfounded gape when Auron bent, picked up the brush, and spread the mage's hair across his knees to finish untangling it. "Man," Waka passed a hand over his eyes. "What a weird day." He paused. "You really think Lou's gonna be okay?" Auron shrugged. "She's strong." "Well, yeah, but, I mean, she's Lulu and all, but still." Orin said nothing. He kept brushing to keep his hands occupied, lest he raise Waka's hackles by doing anything else. "I can hardly believe it, you know," Waka said. "We've waited so long for this. I'm afraid I'm gonna wake up and find it's just a dream. And I've spent years trying to think what I'd say to her if we ever got her back. But I still don't know. What can we say? I mean, with Yuna and Kimari and all." "The truth," Auron said. "Or don't. Words can't change the past." "You'd know all about that, huh?" A prickly silence fell, leaving only the soft, gentle sound of bristles sliding through wet hair, so very different from the rasp of whetstone on steel. Eventually, the ex-blitzer let out an explosive breath. "Excuse me." Rising, he pushed around Auron and tapped a switch to activate the light strips, then disappeared into a closet-sized bathroom opposite the door. He returned shortly with a tumbler of water, which he set on a small shelf above the bed. There was another moment of fumbling as Waka edged around him to return to his seat. Auron ignored the shoving. Indulging in the pleasantly tactile task, Auron brushed until every last snag had been smoothed to silken perfection. He started to sweep up Lulu's hair and divide it for braiding, then checked himself. Such a demonstration of familiarity with her old routine might penetrate even Waka's ironclad skull. Instead, Auron set his hands on his knees. It took no small amount of self-discipline to keep his gaze from roving over her back and shoulders, where the blanket had fallen away from them. Gaze, nothing. His gauntlet creaked as he clenched his fist. He smiled sourly at his own foolishness. "Hey, Auron," Waka cleared his throat. I guess I got kinda hot with you back in Bikinil, huh?" Auron shrugged. "You had cause." "I sure did," Waka said. "But Riku's told me a few things. You've been trying to get Lulu out all this time, haven't you?" "Yes," Auron said. "I needed help." "So that's why you showed up." Waka circled around to his point on the third try. "Look, I'm sorry I hit you, man." "It's all right," Auron said. "Luzu hit me, too." Waka snorted. "He did? Ha! Good for him! How's the old dog doing?" "He's dead." Auron inclined his head towards the bed. "Oh, man." Waka's face drained of mirth. "Seriously? How is she gonna live like this? She'll blame herself, and so will everybody else. All of Spira's gonna hate her."
"I've had some years to get used to that, Waka," Lulu murmured.
"Lou!" Waka popped up out of his chair and lunged past Auron, practically knocking the guardian over in his haste. He checked himself from hugging Lulu, barely, and instead dared to rest a hand against her face. "Hey, you!" Misreading Auron's blank expression, he strove for more eloquence. You look beautiful."
"Thanks." Her lips loosened in a bleary smile. "Riku?"
"With the kids." He reached for the tumbler. "You thirsty? Hungry? I'll get you anything."
"Water."
She pronounced the word slowly, tasting it. Pliant when Waka helped her sit up. Passive when he held the cup to her lips. She seemed half asleep until he tilted it too far and spilled cold water down her front. That roused her with a growl. "Enough! Stop fussing, Waka. I require neither spoon-feeding nor diaper-changing." She batted his hand away. "Nope," he said, face cracking into a broad grin. "But you can't scare me anymore, Lou, so you're just gonna have to put up with some fussing."
"I see." She finished with small sips, head bowed and eyes lowered. "No, actually, I don't. I can't see a thing. Her voice turned peevish. Where are we?
An airship, Auron said. Over Makalania Forest.
Waka's brow furrowed.
It's not your eyes, Lou. It's just night out there.
Yes.
She flexed her fingers before her face, peering at her nails.
I'm not used to this.
Tilting her head, she reached for a brown scar on the side of Waka's neck.
That I can see. Did I?
Yep. You got me pretty good last visit.
Oh, Waka. Her breath hissed between her teeth. That was too close. I'm so sorry. I thought I still had enough control. I didn't want to miss the birth. Etta, yes?
That's right. You really were watching, weren't you? He smiled. It's okay. I think Riku's forgiven you. In fact, she wants you to come home with us.
Hmm.
She finished the drink and raised her chin, looking past his shoulder.
I don't know, Waka. I need time to think.
Auron met her searching gaze. The sharp thread between them pulled taut like a harpoon line. It was just as well that nothing needed saying, since he could not speak.
Same old Lou.
Waka took the cup and set it aside. Take your time, but not too long, eh? We missed you.
I know, Waka, and I want to hear everything I've missed. You and Riku, and this Albed life you'd have scoffed at back in the old days. But first, you need rest. You haven't slept since you left Beaconel, have you?
I'm not tired, he said. Not a bit.
Well, I am.
She smiled fondly, watching his brow furrow at a fleeting moment of deja vu.
Don't worry. I'm not going to vanish during the night.
But Lou!
Leaning forward, she planted a light kiss on his cheek. Now, Waka, please. I will see both of you in the morning, and then you can introduce me to the children. Was Yuna here?
Yeah. He ducked his head. She wanted to see you real bad, Lou.
Tomorrow, she assured him. Give Riku my love.
All right. All right. Hit that blue button by the bed if you change your mind and want company. He jerked his head towards Auron. You too. Out.
A moment, she said. There's something I need to ask Sir Auron first.
Oh. Waka's expression darkened. Well, just go easy on yourself tonight, okay? No point in dwelling on what's done like you always used to tell me. Standing, he paused and gazed at her for a long moment, soaking up the sight of her.
Good night, Lou. I love you too, yeah?
Red-faced, he shuffled to the door and out.
Lulu laughed softly after his departure. Oh, Waka, I do hope Riku understands you better than you do.
Then she fell silent for a long, tantalizing minute, breathing, just breathing, as if the act itself were a revelation. At last, she opened her hands, resting them palm upwards on the blankets.
Auron.
He moved with alacrity. The bed creaked as he knelt over her, sweeping an arm behind her back and drawing her close with fingers knotted in hair he had just brushed smooth. Solid, warm, real kisses sheared through the agony of waiting like a sword stroke. She held him, caressed him, touching everything. The calluses of his fingers, the knotted muscles of his arms, new skin and dimpled scars on his shoulders, his stubble, his cheekbones, the furrow drilling down his face. She even tugged on his earlobes, wiggling them.
Yes, he said, breaking off kissing her with an amused rumble.
Skin, she said, with such triumphant glee that he suspected Riku's medicines were making her giddy.
Ordinary, hairy, human skin. I'd forgotten what it felt like.
Humph.
He palmed her cheek. How do you feel?
Small.
Lulu looked down and frowned at a few wrinkles disappearing into the tunic's neckline.
I got old.
It happens.
Yes, but why?
She stroked the white tufts over his ears, wistful. Arrogant of me, I suppose. I thought Sin was immune.
35 is hardly old, or so you once told me.
It feels like more. She let her face fall against his neck, lashes tickling as her lids drooped. Warm breaths slowed as her fingers continued to fondle what skin she could reach.
Gods, this almost makes it worth it.
You, here. I can't believe you waited.
Lulu. He stroked her hair. You're free. What do you want?
Not quite.
He stiffened.
What?
Shh.
She turned her head and smiled up at him, laying a finger against his frown.
I am myself again, but now I too have oaths. I want revenge, Auron.
Ah. He relaxed, even as the Pyrefly chorus surged in his ears.
Now, now, now is the time. Dare leap and go.
That may prove difficult. You are not Sin any longer.
Oh, we'll find a way.
Stretching, the mage raised her right arm indolently, fingers curling around empty air in a way he knew very well.
This time, Auron, you won't have to face her alone.